I tell you what, let's do this. Go to John 3. Go to John 3. I feel like maybe we just need to throw a lifeline to somebody. Look with me in John 3 for just a moment. John 3 is probably the most familiar chapter in the Word of God. The conversation between our Savior and a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is he's an interesting man. He very religious man. He's a rather wealthy man, it's believed. He's a man that has a lot of esteem and regard in the eyes of men of his generation and his society. In his circle, he would be a man that from the outside everybody would say, this man has it all together. This man didn't have it all together. His man had something missing on the inside. He was empty on the inside. Were things on the inside of him his religion could not satisfy. There were things in his life and holes in his soul and his spirit that were so empty. There was no hobbies he could enjoy that could ever fill what was missing in his life. I'm not sure when, but the day came when he began to hear and be introduced to the Lord Jesus. John chapter number 3, verse number 1 said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Nights when he ought to have been sleeping. Night times when he should have been resting. But Brother Mike, there was no sleep. There was no rest to his heart. There was no rest for his soul. He is a man that is restless in the night. And so he comes to Jesus by night. I wonder this morning, maybe who's in this service, that last night you had no rest. Last night you had no sleep. Last night your soul was disturbed. Last night you sought for something you could not find. This morning we think about Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. He said unto him, verse number 2, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said nothing about the new birth. He didn't ask a question about salvation. He didn't come to the Lord asking this to be expounded to him. But Jesus went straight to the need of his heart and went straight to the cause of the restlessness of his soul and said, Nicodemus, you're looking for something that you need in all the wrong places. Nicodemus, you want rest to your soul. Nicodemus, you want a life and a good life and an abundant life and a joyful life and a peace-filled life. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Until you get born again, you'll never enter in and see the kingdom of God. You'll never know the joys of my kingdom. You'll never know the life that I can give you except you be born again. Nicodemus, now his senses are on high alert. The Lord now has his attention. Brother Riley, he asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? Lord, I hear what you're saying, but how in the world does this happen? How can a man be born again as he enter into it? And now he's asking sincerely now. He said, can he enter into his mother's womb and be born again? Is that how he has to be born again? And that would be impossible. Everybody look this way. That would be impossible. That is not how a man is born again. But he wants to know, how can I be born again? How can this restlessness in my soul be settled? How can this emptiness in my life be filled? What is this about being born again? How can a man be born when he's old? I want to say this morning, a man's got to be born again. And Jesus reiterates that in this text when he said in verse number 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, that's the only hope you have. And I won't be long this morning. I don't know if it's preaching or a testimony or, amen, just a lifeline to somebody today. But if you're here and you're restless and you have a hole in your heart and there's an emptiness in your life, you've tried everything there is to try. And you've tried, you've tried everything you know. And you've gone here and gone there. You've tried every relationship. You've tried every hobby. You've tried every substance. You've tried everything that has been thrown your way. And you're as empty as you've ever been. The message is still true today. And you'll never know, you'll never find what your soul's looking for until you get born again. And you may be like Nicodemus and say, how in the world can that happen? How in the world can I be born again? Let me say out of the text this morning, number one, you're going to have an encounter with the Spirit of God. Amen. He said, Nicodemus, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what has you drained. And that's what has you empty. And that's what has you restless. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There is something that in your natural birth you were born with. And it was born going away from God. It was born desiring the lust of this world. It wanted its own way, and its own way leads you from God. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And I need you to hear me now. Your flesh will send you straight to hell. It'll send you straight to hell. Call it what you want, original sin, or the depraved nature of man. There's something in the inside that you got when you drew your first breath in this world. By way of your first birth, it was a fleshly birth. But he said, that which is born of the Spirit is a spirit. And so there must be an encounter with the Spirit of God. I'm glad this morning the Spirit of the Lord is in every place. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you live. He ain't my friend. He doesn't just move for a certain race or background of people. But he is that. He is that one in the Godhead that is interested in fulfilling the will of God in every sinner's life. That you must be born again. And because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Spirit of God is that spiritual wind from heaven that meets men where they are. And if you're going to be born again, there must be an encounter with the Spirit of God. I ain't got a note one this morning. I have had this on my heart this morning. I'm telling you, there are loads of people today that are still lost in their sin. And they've had an encounter with religion. They've had encounters in the world. They've had encounters with other people. They've never had an encounter with the Spirit of God. And when Jesus said you must be born again, he is talking about a spiritual birth that can only be wrought in your life by way of the Holy Spirit of God. You've got to let the Holy Ghost, you've got to let the Spirit of God meet you where you are and open your eyes. I suppose this morning this encounter with the Spirit would involve us understanding our own fleshly nature and understanding what we really are. Have you ever allowed the Spirit of God to show you how wicked and sinful you are? I'm talking about Jesus is talking to a ruler of the Pharisees, a religious man. He's so religious, in fact, he can quote verbatim without not only not missing a word, but without missing the punctuation of the first five books of your Bible. He knows it. He knows it coming and going. And he's that religious. He doesn't miss sanctuary service. And he lives his life by the best of his ability, the commandments of God. And yet the Lord is saying, you must be born again. How in the world, Jesus, is that possible? There must be an encounter with the Spirit of God where he shows you your sins. Yes, does the Holy Ghost ever showed you that? Amen. Do you have a problem? Are you fighting against that encounter today? Are you arguing with the Holy Ghost that you're not as bad as so-and-so? If you are, then my friend, you cannot be born again. Because in this counter there is a demand upon the sinner's life in which they allow the Spirit to have his will and way to lead them in the saving knowledge and the truth of the gospel. And in that news is the bad news that you're a sinner, that you deserve to go to hell. But in that moving of the Spirit of God is an encounter that reminds us that we cannot save ourselves, and our mothers and our fathers cannot save us. By the power of an encounter with the Spirit of God, you can be saved today. Amen. Amen. How can these things be? He asks in verse number 9, and so Christ is saying, you want to know how to be born again? There's going to have to be an encounter with the Spirit of God. We say, number 2, I ain't got an outline. It ain't alliterated. Somebody alliterated, we'll write it down. I'll preach it again some other time. But through the course of this conversation, I thought about this even leaving Sunday school this morning, praying for our young people. I know all of them profess to be saved. I don't know why. And I have such a heavy heart and burden for them in recent days. But the Lord speaks to Nicodemus. And he said, you know a lot of things. How in the world can you not know what it is to be saved and how to be saved and the reality of being born again? And after dealing with an encounter of the Spirit, here's what he said. He said, if I told you earthly things, you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And so if you're going to be saved, there's not only got to be an encounter with the Spirit, But there's going to have to be some understanding of Jesus Christ and his cross. Amen. He said, you want to know how to be born again? I've come down from heaven to bring the power of the new birth to mankind. And so he'll use an illustration in verse number 14. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus, in that simple reminder of an Old Testament story, he condenses it all down into two very verses and said, I am the one that has come down, and I've not just come down, I've come down that I might be lifted up. And it says the serpent in the Old Testament in the days of Israel's wandering in the wilderness, when they murmured and they complained, and the judgment of God fell upon the congregation, and the fiery serpents came in and bit them, and much of the people were dying, and death was certain, and destruction was throughout the camp. And Moses made a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and lifted it up and said, if you want grace and you want mercy and you want salvation and deliverance, then when you were bitten and on the verge of dying and being destroyed and damned throughout all eternity, if you will but look to the serpent on the pole, look and you will live. Yes, now Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you want to know how to be born again? There's got to be an understanding in your heart of the fact that you have been sin-bent. You have had the poison of sin in your veins. But that Jesus came down from glory, and 2,000 years ago he left on the Father's side. He left eternity past and came down robed in flesh and made flesh for you and that. And the Lord prepared and gave him a body that in the will of God he might offer himself a sacrifice for our sins, so that by faith we can look to what he died, and in looking and believing and turning, we would have the power of salvation brought to you and I. And I tell you today, you'll never get born again so long as you look in everything and everybody is calling you today. You don't need another look at religion. You don't need another look at the baptismal pool. You don't need another look at church membership. You don't need another look at a reformed day in your life. What you need, sinner friend, is a look to the cross and a look to the Savior and his bleeding and his dying and his death and his burial and his resurrection, because Jesus said, whosoever believeth on me shall never perish but have eternal life. I'll tell you how man's born again. There's got to be an encounter with the Spirit of God, and there's got to be an understanding of Jesus and his cross. Number three, there's going to have to be a realization of the love of God for you as you are. Amen. Brother Tim, this ain't alliterated. I'm telling you, I ain't got no notes. As y'all got to testify, and the Holy Ghost said, throw out a lifeline. Somebody here today needs to be saved. And you may say, preacher, I'm too far gone. I'm too messed up. I've turned God away and turned God down too many times. And my life is not a lovely life. It's not a good life. And my life is not worth saving. Can I tell you, in the message of you must be born again, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so Nicodemus, God sent his Son. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And we deserve condemnation. And condemnation, by the way, is already set against us. He'll deal with that. And he that believeth not on him is condemned already. And Christ, listen, God the Father did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son into the world because he loved the world and he wanted to see your life saved. He wanted to see you saved from your sin. He wanted to see you saved from the wrath of God. He wanted to see you gloriously born again. And part of the message of the new birth is that somewhere in your life you're going to have to recognize in reality the fact that God loves you as a sinner. When we were unlovely, Paul said, and that's when God sent his Son into the world. That's when Jesus came loving on us enough and he might die for you and that. I'm thankful, in the life of the Lord Jesus, there's a commentary of his life that is mentioned in John 13 and in verse number 1, where John the Beloved testified of the life of Jesus, saying that knowing the time was his time in which he would depart out of the world, that having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. And so there is something in the heart of Jesus called love that motivated him to go to an old rugged cross and lay down his life for you and me. There was love in heaven in the Father's heart for your life, as condemned as it is, and as worthless as you feel that it is, and as messed up and ugly and gross and dark as your life may be today, there is a God in glory. And if you can realize how much he loves you, you would be well nigh on your way to being born again. Amen. I'm glad to tell the sinner today that God loves you. He don't want you in hell. He doesn't want you dying in your sin.
He doesn't want you standing before Him in the great white throne judgment one day. He doesn't want the lake of fire to be your eternal home. He loves you enough that He gave His only begotten Son, that He might come and bring salvation and the power of the new birth into your life. God loves you today. You may have been rejected by so many people in this world. You may have been thrown around and even feel thrown away. I'm telling you, there's a God in glory. He ain't interested in throwing you away. He ain't interested in throwing you aside. He welcomes you today with open arms. If He was here in bodily form, I believe Jesus would say something like this: "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That would be His message today, because He loves you as you are. He didn't say, "Come to me after you get your life all straightened out." He didn't say, "Come to me after you figure this out or that out." He said, "Come unto me." Oh, the only qualification He put on it is that if there's something on the inside of you that is burdened down, and there's something on the inside of you that is restless, and there's something on the inside of you that knows that there's something missing between you and God, that you could come to Him as you are, and He loved you enough that He doesn't expect you to get it all together and become something lovely. He loves you as you are. Amen. Amen. I'm glad this morning that is a realization in my life. 28 years ago, nearly now, I'd heard John 3:16, and Jesus plainly said that God so loved the world and He loves the world. And we see the little signs, the little scripture references there in our area. You can write all over the country. I don't know who put all them little John 3:16 little boards up that just say John 3:16. But my friend, I'm telling you, this world, they can quote it. Even people who don't go to church are familiar with John 3:16. And I remember hearing that from the time I was just a little preacher's kid. I raised in church and drugged to church and put in Sunday school. That Brother Kendall, God loved the world. And somehow in my mind, I believed that. I knew that. I just took that as it was taught to me, that God loved the world. But you know what made the difference as far as the day I got saved? Is that understanding I was wicked, and that having been born of the flesh, I was flesh and I was sinful. And yet somehow in all that, Jesus came and died for me. And I couldn't comprehend that. But the Spirit of God began to work in my life. And it began to dawn on me, you know what? He doesn't just love the world. It ain't a general love that is just cast over the world today. It is a very direct and specific and personal love. That Brother Carl, He loved me. I can't believe that He loved me. I can't imagine that He loved me. I'm telling you, my mind is blown, Brother Larry, that He absolutely loved me. If you could somehow realize that today, God loves you. And I'm not talking about this fluff we hear in the world today. That, you know, God, He just loves me how I am, and so I'm okay, and everything's going to work out in the end. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a realization of life-changing love. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. How can a man be born again when he's old? How can a man be born again? Well, they got to be an encounter with the Spirit of God. They got to be an understanding of Christ coming and His cross. There's got to be a realization of God's love. I think we could draw from this conversation that there's going to have to become a fear for the judgment that is to come. The Lord said to Nicodemus, "He that believeth not is condemned already." He begins to speak the message of condemnation to him. Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is imperative that you be born again. If you want to see my kingdom, if you want to enter into heaven, if you want a relationship with God, you must be born again. He leads him through the encounter of the Spirit and preaches to him the coming and the cross of Christ. He magnifies a realization of the love of God upon his life. Then he brings him to, I believe, what every sinner has to come to. And that is the reality of the condemnation of the judgment of God upon a sinner's life that moves him to fear. We live in a world that has very, very little fear of God in this day. But I want everybody to look here, and I'm nearly done. I need you to look at me now. If you don't get born again, there is a fiery judgment of God that awaits you. It ain't going to be all worked out and sorted out in the end. Jesus said condemnation is on you already. The light is being shown. The light has shined today through the singing and the songs that have been sung about Jesus and his love and the freedom that he offers. His light has been shown as these saints of God have prayed to the Lord to move and to work in the service. And the light is shown today in the testimonies that have been given of the life and the good life and the abundant life and the peaceful life and the rest that you can have in the Lord Jesus today. And that light is being shined through John 3 for these last 20 minutes. That there is light, there's glorious light. And that light, it condemns every sinner that is in the building today. It reminds you you're not okay with God. It reminds you that you've not had an encounter with the Spirit. It reminds you that you've not believed on Christ and his cross. And it reminds you there's never been a realization of the love of God in your life. But today the light has shined. And the light is shining to produce fear in your life. And the light shines and it might draw you out of that judgment you're under. Amen. Jesus said the light shines to reprove our deeds. Amen. Nicodemus, the light is shining, and in that light there is condemnation, because the light that is shown to you in this night hour, in the restless hour of your life, there is a light, and that light will not let you rest. And that light is shining to reprove your deeds and draw you to the saving power of the new birth. Now here's the last point. If you're going to be born again, how can a man be born when he's old? Here's what Jesus said. Now we got to be careful with this terminology, but you'll understand what I'm saying. Here's what Jesus said. Only way you can be born again is make the decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said the light is shown. And then Jesus said this. Let me just read it to you. Let's get it right and read it perfectly as it is perfect today. And let the word do the speaking here. But he said in verse number 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God." Here's what he's saying, Brother Larry. You want to be born again? You can be born again. It takes an encounter of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, the Spirit's been wearing you out. Nicodemus, you can be born again if you will believe and look and live upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's going to do at the cross. And Nicodemus, you can be born again, but you'll have to realize that God loves you just as you are. Nicodemus, you can be born again if there will be a fear in your heart of the judgment and the condemnation that is against you. But Nicodemus, at the end of the day, God has given all of that to you, and now you have a choice to make. Amen. Are you going to come to the light? Are you going to refuse to come to the light? Amen. Are you going to stay in your sin? Are you going to stay on the path you're on? Are you going to go home the way you came in? Are you finally going to say, I'm tired of the restlessness. I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of the lifelessness of my own life. And I'm coming as I am to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Are you saved today? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been saved? I hope you know that. I felt like the Lord just told me, go to John 3 and I'll tell you what to say. And I'm telling you, they ain't only notes I've got. Jeremiah 29, how to carry on when you've been carried away. I was going to finish that today. Amen. Come here, Riley. Amen. Let's stand. 81, just as I am.